Acts chapter 8. Our passage today is kind of a long passage, so we're not going to put the entire thing up on the board. So I want you to find it. If you don't have your Bible, there's one in front of you in the pew. And if you don't have one, actually, if you don't have one and you need one, you'd let me know. We'd love nothing more than to put the Word of God in your hands if you don't have access to that. So if you don't have one, as soon as the church is over, I'll be right back there shaking your hands as you leave. And if you need a Word of God, you let me know. We're going to make sure you get one. The title of this sermon is actually called Genuine Faith. And we're going to talk about that and kind of what it takes, what is involved in having genuine faith. But we're going to read the passage, and it's a long passage. So just bear with me, but if we're going to start in Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 25. And if your Bible has little subtitles, you may see where it says the Ethiopian receives Christ. Anyway, we're going to begin right there in verse 25. Read along with me. It says, "So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem. They were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.' This is a desert road. So he got up and he went. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.' Philip ran and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'Well, how can I unless someone guides me?' Then he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: 'He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate this generation? For his life is removed from the earth.'" Verse 34, "The eunuch answered Philip and said, 'Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say of this? Of himself or someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him." Verse 36, "As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, water! What prevents me from being baptized?'" How many of you have the NIV Bible that you're reading from right now? What does verse 37 say in your Bible? Oh, it's not there. That's why verse 37 is on the screen. That passage in the oldest manuscripts. You may have a note in your Bible to tell you, in the oldest manuscripts, that verse is not there. But look at this verse. Verse 36 says this: "As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?' Verse 37, "And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea." Long passage, right? Genuine faith. Genuine faith. I believe there's three important elements to experiencing genuine faith. The first one of those is you must have the proper preparation. Isn't that cool? That just shows up there. The proper preparation. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? How do I get prepared for genuine faith? Well, first and foremost, we must understand that salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit, the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. Salvation begins with the Holy Spirit working in our lives. It's completely God's work. Verse 26 says this, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go to the south road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert road. You see, the Spirit began its preparatory work by moving Philip into a strategic position. We call that a divine appointment. Have you ever experienced a divine appointment? Guess what? It didn't just happen. It's not coincidence. If God puts you somewhere in somebody's life, He does it for a reason. The preparatory work. There were two roads that went from Jerusalem to Egypt. Two roads. One road went kind of closer to the coast. The other one went through Gaza, which the old town Gaza was in rubble and ruins. It had been for about 100 years. Nothing else really was on that road. It was a desert road, dry, hot. It was not well traveled anymore, because what was there? Who wants to just go out of the way to go through a bunch of rubble to get to the same place if I can go through here and have towns? If you go on that desert road and you run out of gas in your chariot, run out of grass in your chariot, you know, you get thirsty or you encounter some hard trouble, guess what? There's nobody around. So that road was not traveled. But God sent him on that road for a purpose. This road was seldom used. Now, the other part of that is our submissive will. When God begins to prepare, he's making preparations to do something, what does it require of us? We got to go. We have to be willing to submit ourselves to the Word of God, submit ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and say, "Here am I. Send me. I'm ready." God often accomplishes His work through people. Did you know that? He uses you and me to accomplish His work. Philip obeyed. Philip obeyed. In verse 27, he got the word and he left. It says right here, he got up and went. How simple is that? He got up and he went. God said, "Go on this road, this desert road." Philip got up and he went. He didn't say, "But God, that road is a desert road. Nobody travels that road. Why do you want me to go there? Are you sure? Let me pray about this some more, God. There's more people over here. I can have more influence over these people on this other road that's more traveled." He didn't do that. God said, "Go on the desert road." Philip said, "Okay." Got up and went. Wow, that's a submissive will. He started out. The third thing under the preparation part, number one is the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, our submissiveness, and then we have to have, there has to be a desire to worship. Now, why was this Ethiopian going to Jerusalem? Read it. What's it say in your Bible there? He went. Let me find it right here. Later in verse 27, he was in charge of all the treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem. What's it say? To worship. He went from Egypt. That was a long trip. Long trip. And he went to Jerusalem to worship. I got to tell you something, though. As a eunuch, you understand what eunuch means? A bull made into a steer. Does that make better sense to you? He was a eunuch. He had been changed forever. Guess what? As a eunuch, he would not have been granted full access to worship in Jerusalem. He would not have been. because it was against their rules and their regulations. He could not have gone and experienced full worship as they knew it. Did you know that? Here's the other deal. He was not a Jew, so he could not have gone into the temple, even if he had not been a eunuch, but he could have gone to the Gentile court, okay? Because he was a Gentile, but he could not get near the temple, really, and experience full worship. And of course, this Gentile court is the area where later Jesus goes. You know what he does in the Gentile court? They had turned that place into a marketplace. And it's one thing to sell some things at the church, but it's another thing what they were doing. They were creating, it was highway robbery. Somebody would bring their sacrifices, and the priest would say, what you have is not good enough. But it just so happens we have some stuff for sale right here that you can buy, and you can make sacrifice with that. It costs a lot more money, but it's better. That's what Jesus, when he encountered that, that happened in the Gentile court. That's where he threw the tables over, cleared the temple, did all that. That's what happened there. So it's crowded. It wasn't really a place of worship. It was really a market. Okay? That's where he could have gone to worship. Now, how many of you experienced great, outstanding worship in the middle of Walmart? Now, I know some of you pray in Walmart. My wife prays in Walmart. She gets to the line and she goes, "Oh, Lord!" But that's not how you experience worship. Now, he went, and it was on his way back. He would have been denied access to the temple. He probably went away still empty, being limited to the status of just a God-fearer, but not allowed to experience full worship, at least as far as Judaism was concerned. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, "You will seek me, and you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart." Did you know that? Did you know that can happen in Walmart? That can happen in Brookshire Brothers. That can happen at Target. Can happen at Xanadu if you're shopping for a wedding dress. Yeah. Can happen at the Big and Tall Men store. Can happen in your car driving down the road. Can happen laying in your bed. You can experience that. When you seek God with all your heart, you will find him. When you seek him with all your heart. God honored his heart. This Ethiopian was headed to Jerusalem, a long trip. It was a sacrifice to go that far. He went that distance because he wanted to know God. God honored it. And he gave the full revelation of Jesus Christ, who had not even been born yet, to this Ethiopian through Philip's ministry. Philip gave him the word of truth. The Ethiopian was eager to know God, and he knew that knowledge would come from Scripture. What was he reading when Philip showed up? He was reading the Scripture. He was reading the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. He was reading what he had in Isaiah. While God's existence and some of his attributes, listen, can be found in nature, do you know that? God's attributes and his existence can be found in nature. Saving knowledge of him only comes from Scripture. Saving knowledge of Jesus Christ only comes from the Word of God, folks. Preparation is this first point, the proper preparation. Let me ask you a question. Have you been like that Ethiopian? Have you been searching for God with all of your heart? And has God been doing a preparatory work in your life? Bringing people into your pathway. Bringing you to church. Bringing you into conversation with some folks. Has he been preparing you to receive him? The second point, you have the proper preparation, then you have the proper presentation. verse 30 and through 34. That's the part where it says, Philip ran. The Spirit, this, in verse 29, it says, the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join his chariot. So Philip ran. Listen. And he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? How was that? God was doing the work. Divine appointment. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. All Philip had to do was just obey. Philip hadn't done a thing yet. God said, go. Philip said, okay. He went. God's been working. Philip shows up. And the guy's been reading the scripture, looking for God, searching for God. Philip says, oh, I get it. Okay? Now the passage which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate this generation? For his life is removed from the earth. I love this part. Verse 34 says, the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, please tell of me, whom does this God, who's the prophet say of this? Of himself or someone else? Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. Then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning from this scripture, from Isaiah, he preached what? About Jesus. He preached Jesus to him. Every time there's a presentation for salvation, it better be centered on Jesus Christ. Because there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Every believer, guess what? That's you. And that's me. If we're a believer, every one of us should strive to be proficient in the Scriptures so that you and I can also meet people at their point of confusion and lead them to Christ. This Ethiopian was like, I read it, but I don't understand it. God, I wish you would just bring somebody to show me and explain this to me. Poof, there's Philip. Come on up here, boy, and explain this to me, partner. Philip comes up and says, guess what? Let's start with what you're reading right now. This old prophecy that Isaiah prophesied about a lamb being led to the slaughter and saying nothing. An innocent lamb being led to slaughter. Silent. And he went on and he preached Jesus. An effective presentation of the gospel must be solidly based on Scripture. Romans 1 verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. There's power in the gospel. Power. Do you know what power is? Think of the most powerful thing you know of on this earth. It ain't a drop in the bucket to the power of my Lord and my Savior. There's power in the Word of God. It must be centered on Jesus Christ. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began, from this scripture he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus, the lamb that was led to slaughter. He said, guess what? The very person you're reading about, this lamb being led to slaughter, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And he was led and he was slaughtered for you and for me. When someone gets put in your pathway, when God puts you in somebody else's pathway, when he brings you together for that divine appointment, you need to be ready for it. You recognize it, be ready for it. There is no better way than to just preach Scripture. Here it is. All you need to do is this. Confess that Jesus Christ came. Realize and confess that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that. All of us. Number two, realize the awful consequences of sin and that eternal life comes only through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23. You see what I'm doing, right? How many of you ever heard of the Romans Road? This is it right here. Scripture. Scripture, there is what in Scripture? Power. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Number three, realize that Jesus Christ loves you and He paid a penalty for your sin. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for you to get good. He says, I love you just like you are. I love you too much to leave you that way, but I love you just like you are. Step four, realize that you must confess Jesus as Lord and receive His gift of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 and verse 13 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. For everyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You don't have to worry about it. If He heard me or not, it says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If God has been doing a preparatory work in your life, guess what? He's working on you for a reason. I'm just getting warmed up. Your personal testimony is important. Did you know that? Michelle talked about that this morning. Our personal testimony is important because it shows, it gives physical proof of the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. I am proof. I once was this, but now I'm this. I once was a sinner, but now I'm perfect. No. I once was a sinner bound for hell. Now I'm a sinner bound for heaven. There's a big difference. Destination makes all. They say location, location, location. Let me tell you something. That is super important. Where do you want to spend eternity? Location, location, location. Personal testimony is important because it gives a firsthand account of the life-changing power of God. However, the biblical truth about Jesus is the essential message that a lost person must hear. Romans 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Jesus Christ. Your testimony is important. It's important to tell your story, but the saving power comes from the word of God. The power of the word of God changes lives. The power of the Word of God was good in Philip's day. It was awesome. Guess what? In that book that he was reading, in Isaiah, verse 40, chapter 40, verse 8, you know what it says there? The grass withers away. The flowers fade away. But the Word of God stands forever. Forever. Man. Number three. You've got the proper preparation, the proper presentation, and then the proper response. To experience genuine faith, to have a life-altering experience, there must be a response. Verses 36 through 40. I'm going to read these again because it's just too good. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water. What's to keep me from being baptized right now?" Philip said, "If you believe with your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's what that Ethiopian said. "I believe that Jesus Christ is who you and who Scripture says He is. He's the Son of God. I believe it with all my heart." Philip said, let's get this done. Let's get her done. That's what he said. Let's get her done. They went down to water, both of them. He baptized him. That's a paraphrase. Let me read it. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When it came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him. But what did the eunuch do? He went on his way doing what? Rejoicing. His life had been changed, and he knew it. And he rejoiced about it. The Ethiopian desired to publicly testify to his saving faith by being baptized. Now, let me tell you something. This guy, he was like in charge of the treasury for the Ethiopian queen, right? Do you think he was traveling by himself? I don't think so. He probably had, I mean, you see these rappers or these music moguls or these great athletes traveling around. Who do they have around them? President rolls into Dolan to come visit us. What's he going to have with him? Well, he's going to have boatloads of folks, y'all. He's going to have an entourage like you've never seen. Guess what? This dude, I'm sure he had an entourage like nobody's business. He had to give an order for the chariots to stop. He got down from the chariot. He said, "There's water right there. Let's do this deal right now in front of everybody that's here." That is a that's a testimony. He said, "I want to do this right now, and I want everybody to see it." That's what that is, folks. That's a proper response. Confession. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then he rejoiced. Did you know that joy is the mark of a true believer? If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you have no other option than to be joyful about it. Did you know that? There's joy there somewhere. Dig it up. Find it. Put it on your face. Show everybody. Philip. What happened to Philip? Let me ask you this question. Maybe you're here this morning, and God's been doing a preparatory work in your life. Maybe God has been bringing people into your life. Maybe God brought you here today for this very moment. Maybe you've heard the presentation of the gospel today. If you've been listening, you've heard it. You've heard the presentation of the gospel. Maybe somebody has presented that gospel to you, and you just need to respond to it. Are you ready? Are you there? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from doing that? Is it pride? Let me tell you something. This Ethiopian dude was the highest ranking official in the whole area. He got down off his chariot in front of all these people and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I listened to a preacher this weekend. He said, "You know, we as churches have just become weak in some areas." He said, "You know, trying to get people, pleading with people to respond to Jesus. It's like Jesus going, 'Please come, please come.'" And so we'll turn the lights off, turn them way down low. We'll say, "Okay, nobody's looking. Every eye's bowed, every head bowed, eyes are closed. If you'll just maybe even just stick up a little pinky, we can see. And oh, that's all you need to do. Just nobody's looking, nobody's going to see." That preacher said, "Baloney. At my church, we say, 'Look, lights are on. Everybody look around.'" He said this, "Because if you can't confess Jesus Christ in here where it's safe, how are you going to do it out there?" Philip. He was snatched away. What do we read about Philip? He found himself in Azotus. There he was. Boom. And as, listen to this, this is super important, because if you have experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ this morning, if you're here, you've that's happened to you, and you're a Christian, you're a child of God, and you've professed that, you've claimed that, you've testified to that, you've stood up in front of everybody and said, I will be baptized, I'm going to show everybody, whatever. Here's the deal, this is for you. This last verse, you thought you'd been left out, you haven't. This is for you. Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Let me put that in today's words for you. He traveled about preaching wherever he went. Wherever he went. That's you. That's me. Wherever we go to more places than Dolan Baptist Church. Wherever we go. When we go to Walmart. When we go to our friend's house for the party, to watch the game. When we go hang out at the chicken wing place. When we go play golf. When we go to T-ball. When we go to soccer games. When we're at the hunting lease, folks, you're not responsible for setting up divine appointments. You're responsible for saying, yes, Lord. That's it. Know the Scripture. Know the power of Christ in the Scriptures and be prepared. That is your mission in life. That's your mission in life, folks. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ and you become a child of God, there's more for you. And it's not about you, it's about other people. Don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what God's been doing in your life. I'm just trying to be faithful to what God's called me to do. God's called me to preach His Word, to preach His Gospel. I hope and pray that we've done that very plainly this morning. The Gospel is there. Has God been speaking to you? Has He been preparing you? What's your response? What is your response? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, that's old business. I've already done all that. But that last verse, Brother Mike, really got me. He does have more for me. I'm supposed to do what? I'm supposed to go and keep preaching wherever I go? I believe that. I'm going to accept that. And I'm going to do that. Oh, praise God. Praise God. We need more preachers. We need more preachers in this church. All of you should be preachers. Every one of you. I'm not going to belabor the point. This is your time to respond. We're not going to turn the lights down. We're not going to ask everybody to close their eyes. I believe that. If you can't stand up and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior here in this place where it's safe, how are you going to do it out there? I love that statement. So this is your time. Whether it be, I want to receive Christ, I want to accept that salvation, you've presented the gospel, I believe it just like He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I want that life-changing power in my life. If that's you, don't waste time. Come right down here. I'd love to share that with you. If maybe God's been dealing with you and calling you to step up and to do more, by all means, do that. Be submissive. Everything's here ready. The prayer benches are here. I'm here. You respond. This is your time. Stand.